to say this morning, as your music minister, that I'm thankful for some things this morning. I'm thankful for Danita this morning, who has offered her services and is playing with us. I have two right arms that I have to say that I'm thankful for. I'm going to get in trouble here right now, but I can't help it. Becky Whitener, I could not have a choir without Becky Whitener backing me up. And I don't know how many of you know about the upper room in this church, but I'm telling you, it's the heartbeat of the music ministry is those people that work up there. And I'm so thankful. And of course, this choir back here, I feel like I'm at the Emmys or something saying all this stuff. But I'm telling you, we are so blessed. You know, I don't have the problem on Sunday morning of saying, oh Lord, where am I going to come up with a special? Or where am I going to come up with music? I have the problem of picking, which one are we going to do today? We got so much. And I just want to say right now that Brother Roger is in the house this morning. I know everybody don't get that, but come on up here, Brother Roger, and sing for us.
Yes, it looks like me. Stretched open wide, barely hanging on to life, left to suffer on your own. You came here for all mankind to bridge the great divide, and somehow ended up alone because of all blood and tears you've shed. I will never know that kind of loneliness. Your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear that burden all alone. You carried all the pain and buried all the shame, and you made that rugged tree a righteous throne. Because of you, I'll never walk alone. You came here as a man, I know you understand what it's like to walk these roads. But my problems don't compare to that crown you had to wear, and still you took them as your own. Because of all the blood and tears you, I will never know that kind of loneliness. Your spirit never leaves me, even when I'm hurting. I don't have to bear this burden all alone. You carried all the pain and shame, and you made that rugged tree a righteous throne. And because of you, I'll never walk alone. Ooh, whoa. Shame, and you made that rugged tree a righteous throne. And because of you, I'll never walk alone. Lord, because of you, I'll never walk alone. I'll never walk alone.
I love That was good. We have so much to be thankful for. I'm thankful for Hiram First Baptist Church. You know, I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for a teenage boy and a 9-year-old that doesn't want to do his homework. I'm thankful for my 23-year-old daughter who likes me now. There was a time when she didn't. I know she likes me because she sent me something for Thanksgiving. She sent me a bottle of silver vitamins. And she had a note in there about how much she cares about us and our health. She sent everybody in the family vitamins. Of course, she's real healthy, you know. But I just thank God that I can get up here today and I can tell you that when I walk through valleys or I walk through times in my life, when everything wasn't exactly like I wanted it, God never left me. And there are times that I didn't understand and times that I didn't know what to do. And I just really, all you can do is depend on Him. The last thing you want to do in a storm is run away from God. You know, we want to preach this morning about giving thanks. Sometimes God lets me preach kind of in line with the holiday, sometimes not. I was studying this week, and I said, Lord, I'd like to have a message on Thanksgiving if you'll give me a thought. And He did. So we're going to get into the book this morning, the Word of God, and we're going to look at Psalms chapter number 100. And we want to go through this chapter this morning. We want to talk about giving thanks. Now, I am thankful. I'm thankful for the Lord. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit of the Lord. They sing that song, you know, and I've said this before, and I've said this to somebody this week. As a Christian, I'm never alone. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're never alone. And I'm thankful that my Lord is with me everywhere I go. I talk to Him. He is a friend, as the Bible talks about, that sticketh closer than a brother. When I'm having difficulties at work, I can talk to Him. When I'm having difficulties at home, I can talk to Him. When I'm having difficulties driving in traffic, I can talk to Him. Now, sometimes you can even get right down to the simple things when I'm having difficulties working on something. Yesterday, me and my teenage son, we enjoyed getting to build a catapult for a science project. We enjoyed getting to go to Home Depot and, you know, have a limited. I said, son, we got to get this done. You know, Thanksgiving week, next week. We enjoyed getting to do that. You know, but everything that we do in life, if you have a relationship with a living God, you can bring Him into it. Now, what I don't understand is how you can go through life and not bring Him into it. But let's think about Thanksgiving for just a minute. Do you know that many people are going to sit down, they're going to take days off of work next week, and they're going to sit down with a family for Thanksgiving, but they don't give thanks because they don't have anyone to give thanks to. Some of them will even sit down to eat a Thanksgiving dinner, and they'll never thank God for providing it. They'll never thank God for being able, allowing them to have the strength, the ability to have that meal. You know, there are some people that will sit down. They're not going to sit down to what you and I are going to sit down to. I was talking to somebody at work this week. I said, you know, I've grown up in my mother's house and in my mother-in-law as well. I get to eat Thanksgiving twice, by the way. I go to my mother's on Thursday, and we generally have turkey and ham and dressing. And we'll have green beans with potatoes, you know, two or three casseroles, macaroni and cheese, cream corn, coleslaw, you know the drill. And sometimes I begin to look at it and there's like 10 vegetables and there's 5 desserts. And I say, Mom, who are you cooking for? You know? And we'll enjoy all of that. And we'll say the blessing and we'll make mention, even in our prayers, of those that have gone on. You know, my mother either wants to speak about my dad or we say something about my dad before we say the blessing for Thanksgiving and when we have Christmas dinner. And we'll have all of that. And then I'll go on Friday and I'll go to my mother-in-law. And she is a good cook. And we'll have all the same stuff. And you know, it's kind of like when you go, they want to make sure, did you get enough? Did you get a piece of this cake? Did you get a piece of this pie? And you say, ooh. It's not that it's not good, but how much can you eat? But you know, when some people sit down to Thanksgiving, and I've seen this growing up too, they bow their head to give thanks, they're not going to have as much. You know, there are a lot of people that will bow and they'll say, thank you, Lord, for this cup of rice. It's like we saw when they did the missionary presentation. Thank you, Lord, for this plate full of noodles that I'm having for breakfast. You are blessed. And you say, well, you just don't know where I'm at. Well, I'll tell you, if you'll walk with the Lord, He can change your circumstances. And He can take you, and I'll tell you as I stand up here, and we're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute. I'm not up here today because I've got it figured out. I'm up here because I was lost, and I heard a preacher preaching about Jesus. And I accepted Him as my Savior, and I've been trying to walk with Him in my life. I'm not here because I've accomplished anything. I'm here because of God's mercy and His grace and His goodness and His love, and because He did not give me a lot of times what I even deserved. Amen? If you would stand with me and let's look at Psalms 100, and we want to read this chapter. It's just 5 verses, and then we'll pray and I'll try to bring to you what God has put on my heart this morning. But in Psalm chapter number 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful, God, that we are able to be in Your house this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for what You've provided for us, that we could be here and have this beautiful place to worship. We're thankful, Lord, for all those that work so hard, Lord, for us to have this place, that work with the children's ministry and work with the music ministry, and God, those, Lord, involved with the deacon service, Lord, in this church. God, those, Lord, that work with the sound, and those that work with the grounds, and those that keep this place clean. God, those that work with the nursery, those that work in the parking lot, just to make sure that things are safe while we're having service. Lord, the list could go on. Lord, those that cooked sausage biscuits for us this morning, and those that cook on Wednesday night. Those, Lord, that go and visit, and Lord, those that just pray. God, for us as we stand, and God, the encouraging things that You've sent our way, we're thankful for. God, without You, we wouldn't have any of this. Without You, in fact, we wouldn't have anything. In fact, Lord, without You, if we were left to ourselves, we would all be in trouble. We'd be walking in darkness, and we wouldn't know that we have a Savior. We wouldn't know that a Lord is with us every day, that we're never alone. God, we pray that You'd open this Scripture to us in our hearts and our minds this morning, and help us, God, just to glorify You, lift You up, praise You, worship You. And Lord, if I forgot any in this prayer, Lord, I pray that You'd bless them, every one. And Lord, we thank You so much for all You've done and all You're going to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. You would be seated. And I want you to think for just a minute. I mean, if we look at this psalm, I begin to think about verses, and this psalm actually came in my heart and my mind, and I went to it. But we do have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I got my son in there last night, and I had one computer going. He had another one going, and we were researching Thanksgiving. And he read this stuff to me. I'm going to give you just a couple of them. You know, when the Pilgrims and the Puritans came over here to this country, they brought the service of the Lord with them. They served the living God, and they knew who He was, and they come into a country where there were natives here that didn't know Him. And they begin, some of them even worked together. You know, it wasn't always fighting. And folks, I just want you to know, dances with wolves is not a good representation of what happened early in this country, okay? It makes us out to be monsters, and not all people were, okay? God has a plan. And God had a plan from this country from the beginning for us to be here, to be a place where people could come and worship God in freedom and serve a living God. And He still wants us to be able to do it today, but people have drifted from that. But the Puritans and the Pilgrims came, and when God began to bless them, and folks, they had to work. They had to plant fields, and they had to dig rocks, and they didn't do it with a John Deere tractor. Nowadays, when you get a tractor, they want an ultramatic transmission, and they want air conditioning. They're not even willing to shift gears, much less plow with a mule, okay? But these people plowed with a mule, and they dug rocks, and they planted corn, and they prayed that God would send rain. And when they worked together, and they met, and they worked with the Indians, and God blessed, they realized who blessed them. Now, the question, do you realize who blesses you? You know, I've got a job. I've been working down there at that company. February will be 25 years, and in February, I get another week's vacation. Now, I'm excited about that. But you know, my provision does not come from that company. My provision comes from the Lord. Because if the Lord didn't give me the ability to do what I do, if He didn't bless the work of my hands, if He didn't bless my mind, I would not be able to do it. And when I go and I begin to plant a field or I begin to try to do something, I want you to know your ability only goes so far. You need God to bless what you do. And you say, well, you just don't know. I have a master's degree or I have a doctor's degree. Okay, big deal. And the Bible says in the last days they'd be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to tell you what I want in my life more than a degree. I want God's hand of blessing on what I do. More than anything else, I want God's hand on it. And when they came to this country and they began to thank God, they were lifting up praise to a living God because He blessed them to be able to be here and to have what they have. They thanked Him for what they had, even though they had to work very hard to have it. Okay? Now, in 1939, Franklin Delano Roosevelt declared that the next to the last Thursday in November is a national holiday. Now, in 1941, Congress basically permanently established the holiday as the fourth Thursday in November. And here we are in America. This is the most traveled season of the entire year. One thing I studied and I learned with Matthew's help is that the Sunday following Thanksgiving is the busiest travel day of the year in the United States. So people are running to and fro, okay? And they're moving around, but how many of them look up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have what we have. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have this meal. Thank you, God, for this job. But Lord, more thank you for allowing me to be able to do it. You know, when you look through the Word of God, and I begin to study a little bit on this, I thought that, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. But in Matthew chapter number 15 and verse 36, where He took the 7 loaves and the 2 fishes, and the Scripture says that He took the 7 loaves and the fishes and He gave thanks. He lifted them up to God the Father. You know, we pray to God the Father, and when we pray to God the Father, I believe as Christians we should pray in Jesus' name. Okay? Now, Jesus lifted these up and He prayed to God the Father. He gave us an example. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, and this is just an example, but there are many others, Paul also gave us an example of giving thanks. See, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, not my name. I'm not worthy. He's worthy. Amen? Now, I want us to look at this scripture and go through it for just a minute. And I want us to understand when it's Thanksgiving time and who we give thanks to. You know, when I pray, I don't just pray to any God. I saw something just a few weeks ago and it was sent to me and it had a posting by Franklin Graham and how he was discouraged because they had an imam that was praying, and this was one of those radical imams that they invited to pray at the House of Representatives. And he was there and he was praying, and right over here in the background I saw the leader of the house with his head down. Now I want to tell you something. I'm not going to bow my head and pray to Allah. I'm not going to bow my head and pray to a false god. When I pray to the one true God, the living God, and He's in heaven, the God of the Bible. Now, if you look at this scripture in Psalms chapter 100, we're going to kind of go through this, in verse 3a, it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. There is no other God. There is no substitute. There is no equal. It's not okay. We're getting into shame, but we're getting to the point in this country that people don't like this kind of preaching because they want everybody to just be able to get along. I want you to know something. There's just one God. It's not a triangle that you can go up this side or that side or that side and reach the top. You either come through Jesus Christ or you're not going to make it. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Just Jesus. So we thank the one true God. We thank the living God. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. You never look through here and find where God's people pray to a false god. He said, I am the Lord and beside me there is no God. Just one. So we pray and we thank the one true God. Now we pray and we thank our Creator God. Now folks, we're here because we were created by God in the image of God for the purpose of God. If you look at this scripture in Psalms 100 verse 3 and look at part B, the second part of the verse, it says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Now if you go to the first chapter of Romans, anytime you find where people are unthankful, you also find that people are unholy. Okay, it says they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, and they became unthankful. And if you go over to the book of Timothy, where it talks about in the last days perilous times shall come, and it goes down the list telling the things, it said they will be unthankful, and the next word is unholy. Unthankful and unholy. We thank God, our Creator, because He created us, whether we like it or not. You know, sometimes when you start talking about this stuff, people, what do people believe? And sometimes I just don't understand. They go through their life and they say, I'm an atheist or I'm a Christian or I'm an agnostic. Where are you going when you die? You're created by God, especially for a purpose. It is He who created us, therefore we should be thankful to Him. Now, you know, we're living in a country today that really things are messed up to a certain extent. I mean, you know, you're living in a country today where if the children don't like the parenting of their parents, they can sue them and be separated from them. Oh, we're living in a country today where the government thinks that they own your children. I want to tell you who your children belong to. They belong to God first and you second. Now here it is. I've got children. And my wife and I, we wanted those children. And those children are here in this world. Now I recognize they belong to God, not me. But while we're raising them up, the Bible says to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and provoke them not to wrath. We're trying to be witnesses to them. We're trying to lead them. We're trying to teach them. We're trying to take care of them. We provide for them. They've got a roof over their head. They've got everything that they need. And, you know, we were talking about it in Sunday school this morning when I heard Brother Tom say he had to buy all of these things because he couldn't show partiality to his grandchildren. I love my kids. You ever went to the store with one of them? And you get to the store and you know the other two are at home. And they say, Daddy, will you get me this? And you get it for them. Oh, you know, you think you're okay till you get home. And the other two say, where's mine? And then you end up having to, I've had to do this. You have to go back to the store. But you know, we go to the store. We provide for them. We do spoil them. And you know, because of that, they should be thankful. Amen. They should be thankful. They should be thankful because we're their parents. Mama and Daddy's taking care of them. Mom and Daddy brought them into this world. Mom and Daddy takes care of them. I want to tell you, by the same token, you should be thankful to a living God that loves you, that provides for you, that sends the rain, that sends the four seasons, that allows us to have the blessings of life that we have to be able to accomplish what we can. Amen. It's because of Him. We thank Him as our Creator. Then we thank Him as our Provider. Look at 100 verse 3 in part C. It says, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. In Psalms 23 verse number 1 and 2, David, when he wrote this psalm, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, we've been going through the 23rd Psalm on Wednesday night. And when we begin to look at being the Lord's, being your shepherd and being in His care, it's complete control. He's taking care of us. He's providing exactly what we need. And I mentioned it a little bit before when we got started. God provides what we need. You know, you say, well, if I don't go to work, I won't have that job. Well, that's absolutely true. But we ought to realize our provider is in heaven. The one that we report to is in heaven. The one that could close the hand of blessing on our life is in heaven. He's our Lord. We thank Him, our provider. He knows our every need. He knows our needs before we ask. The Scripture says He knows how many hairs are upon our heads. And you say, well, I'm not getting everything I want. Well, I want to tell you something else that I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God did not give me everything I thought I needed. Okay, because if He did, there would be times in my life that I would be in a lot of trouble. You see, if God loves me, He does care enough about me to keep me from things that will hurt me. You know, sometimes I have to have this conversation with my children. I love you. And there's things I'm just not going to let you do. There's things that as long as you're in my care, I'm going to do my very best to keep you from experiencing. I'm going to keep you from seeing it. I'm going to keep you from touching it because I care about you. And sometimes they don't like it. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we do not like it when we pray a prayer and God doesn't immediately give us what we think that we need. But there is a song that says, I thank God for unanswered prayers. You know, if I were left to myself, I would be a mess. You say, well, I've got it figured out. Folks, I want to tell you something. I don't. I depend on the Lord as my shepherd to guide me and to lead me. But sometimes when He's taking me down paths that are uncomfortable, I know who He is and I don't want any other shepherd. Okay, I know who my Lord is and I want to walk with Him no matter where He leads me. There's a song that says, where He leads me, I'll follow. And sometimes we will. But if we know who He is, always we will. Okay? We thank Him because He's our provider. Now, why do we thank Him? Look at Psalms 100 and look at verse number 4. It says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Well, here's one reason we thank Him. Because we're told to. You know, the Bible tells us to thank Him. We ought to be thankful. You know, no one should have to tell us to, but the Bible does. It tells us that we should be thankful. And I want to tell you, He's worthy. He should be thanked, but the Bible tells us to. You know, sometimes things in life, when I'm reading or I'm studying, it is what it is because thus saith the word of the Lord. And we ought to be thankful because thus saith the word of the Lord. We ought to thank Him because we're told to. Now look at Psalms 100 verse 5 in the first part of the verse. We ought to thank Him because the Lord is good. It says, for the Lord is good. Now there's a prayer that the kids pray. And you can pray it with me. You can pray it aloud. I mean, all of you know this. God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread. Amen. Now I'll look at that and we teach it to our children. But how much do we let it really sink down inside of our hearts? You know, we thank Him because we're told to, but we thank Him because the Lord is good. And it's good to serve a God that is always faithful. And God has always been faithful to us. You know, we thank Him, if you look at the second part of verse 5, we thank Him because His mercy is everlasting. You see, it says in this verse here, it says His mercy is everlasting. Psalms 103 in verse number 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God because I've really, really needed the mercy of God in my life. A couple of weeks ago, I preached on that. You know, I thank God for His mercy. Sometimes I have to remember to be merciful myself. You know, sometimes even in dealing with the people that are in your life, and we're going into a Thanksgiving season and a Christmas season, and you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier, we're going to be getting around people that maybe you hadn't seen in a while. Maybe what you need to show them is mercy. You know, maybe go in there and show kindness and gentleness. You know, God's in control. We can't seek vengeance. We can't solve problems. Just give things to God. I'm thankful because God is merciful. In Psalms 117, in verse number 2, the first part of the verse, it says, "For His merciful kindness is great toward us." You know, if I were to get the sentence due for everything I've done in my life, I wouldn't be in church this morning. You know, the truth is, we're all here this morning because God's been good to us, because God's been merciful to us, because He's been kind to us. And I'm thankful because of God's mercy. Look at verse 5 in part number C. We should be thankful because His truth endureth forever. You see, in Psalms 117, verse 2, in the second part of the verse, it says, "And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Now, here's something to be thankful for about the God that we serve. He does not change. He's not changed because times have changed. He's not changed because technology has changed. I remember one time I was working on a job. This was in 1995. I was working on a Unity church out in the other side of Atlanta, and we were putting some curtain wall on the church, and there was a guy there that was a member of the church, and we just got to talking about the Bible, and we got to talking a little bit, and you know, he tried to tell me, he said, "You know, God didn't live in the day and time that we live in." He said, "You know, God understands if we do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this." I said, "It doesn't sound like you and I serve the same God. Because the God that I serve, He's not changed." You see, here's something to understand that we should be thankful for rather than being offended by. If you serve a God that changed, you serve a God that might not be there when you need Him. He might not be merciful when you need mercy. He might not be enduring when you need endurance. He might not be everlasting when you need Him to be. But the God I serve doesn't change. His expectations doesn't change. His mercy doesn't change. You see, He wasn't fashioned by men's hands or created by a man's mind so that they could apply to Him the characteristics and attributes that they thought that He needed. He's God from the beginning. He's Alpha and He's Omega. And His truth will endure. The Bible says it will stand. Will stand. I'm thankful because of His many benefits. In Psalms 103 in verse 2, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Then over in Psalms 116 in verse 12, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" You know, if we begin to sit down and think about the benefits of the Lord, and the first one that comes to thought and mind is salvation. You know, we preached a little bit last week and we talked about if salvation were something that could be purchased with money, I don't believe there'd be any atheists. I really don't. I believe if that were the way it was, people would be signing up. You know, they'd probably want the government to provide it. But they'd be trying to get it paid for, okay? But everybody'd be wanting it. Everybody'd be trying to get it. But it can't be bought with money. And I want to tell you the benefit of being that I'm so thankful for is the fact that I have salvation because of what Jesus Christ did for me. That's a benefit. Now, you know, if you go on and you read in that 103rd Psalm, it talks about all of His benefits. You read over in the 116th and it talks about Him. And it talks about how He healeth all of our diseases. And how that He helps us in all of our infirmities. And He comes to us in all of our troubles. He's a God that's never, ever so far away that He can't be touched or heard. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And sometimes when people begin to look at that, they say, "How can I spend my whole life on my knees?" When I tell you that I'm never alone, here's what I mean. There's never a time in my life I'm driving down the road, I see an accident, I get a call at work, that I don't immediately have connection to a living God. You know, the Bible tells us that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And I'm conscious of that because if I'm not where I need to be with God, I can't have that power in my life. You ever had a phone call, somebody be on the other end, you think you got trouble, but immediately they start talking to you. You know the tone, you know the quiver in the voice, and you hear it. And you think, "Lord, I need to be able to pray." I've been through that. I try to keep my life close enough to the Lord that if that call comes, I can talk to him. I was coming to church Wednesday night and I witnessed an accident. No one really got hurt, but it could have been a very serious accident. At that same intersection a couple of years ago, I saw a man get killed. He ran a stop sign and somebody T-boned him. He hit a guardrail, flipped upside down, and burst into flames. The man that did survive, I tried to help. He didn't even know where he was at. But as I sat there and I thought, what would it be like if you're not saved by the grace of God? I immediately started praying. I immediately started calling out on the one that can help me. I want to tell you something. I'm thankful for the benefit of knowing who I belong to, that he's with me all the time. And when I cry out to him, he hears my prayer. When I get a phone call and there's a bad report from the doctor, God is there. When I need help, he's there. When I cry out to him, he's never on a journey. He's never asleep. He's never distant. And you know, sometimes then things in our life don't turn out exactly the way we want them to. You know, the truth is, and it's just the truth, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go today. The Bible tells us that we're going to have a certain time on this earth. If we could pray and get every prayer answered, we'd be like Methuselah. We'd be 950 years old still praising God for days on the earth. But it's not going to be that way. And here's something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that he is there when we really, really need comfort. You know, I stood by my dad's bedside when my dad passed away. And I was there with him. I was there with him the last couple of weeks of his life. And my dad assured me he's saved. In fact, the last strength that he had, he stood up and wanted to open the Word of God and share it with us. He had a testimony and he had a witness, but I want to tell you, it was not something we wanted to go through. It was not something that we liked, but here's the comfort, and this is why I'm thankful. I serve a God that when he shut his eyes in this life, the Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He is now in heaven, and I will see him again. Now, that's something to be thankful for, and I'm thankful for that. So many benefits. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, that's a benefit, folks. So many benefits. So much to be thankful for. And here's the last. Now, how do we thank him? How do we thank him? Now, I know that we can thank him in prayer. But you know, we come into the house of the Lord, and I believe we thank him with worship. Now, here's something I believe with all my heart. I believe man was created to worship. And I believe, I don't care what you have, I don't care how, and you could even be the best superstar there is. You could be the most popular person in the world. You could be the greatest movie star with the greatest wealth. If you're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you're missing something. And you'll never find it. You'll never be satisfied with anything else in this world until you can truly worship the way God intended for you to worship. You ever seen them? They got a Super Bowl ring on every finger. They're not happy. Oh, they've got millions of dollars. But every month you look at them on a magazine, there was somebody else or in some kind of scandal. Why? Because they're not happy. Because they don't know what it means to worship. Worship God. Here it is, and it's in this book. It's in the 100th Psalm. Verse 1 in part A, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It's worship. It's also obedience. Look at part B of the 100th chapter in the first verse. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. That serve. That means whatever he tells me to do, I ought to do it with gladness. You ever seen anybody, you know, you try to get them to do something around a church? Well, I'll do it, but I won't like it. And they make you so miserable. You won't ask them again. Serve the Lord with gladness. When you do something around here, you're serving the Lord. And by the way, when you know, this church belongs to God. This church doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the deacons. It doesn't belong to a handful of folks that when we decide to sell it, we're just going to split the money. It doesn't work that way. What happens is in the bylaws of this church that if this church is ever dissolved, every penny of the assets had to go to another church of like faith. What you do here, you do it for God. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's obedience. How do we thank Him? We thank Him with fellowship. Psalms 100 in part C. It says, come before His presence with singing. Now, I think singing, I love singing. Now, there's some good singers here. But here's the point. It's coming before His presence. Do you realize when you're singing in the choir and you're singing the specials and you're serving, you're coming before the presence of the Lord? I heard a preacher that I know recently, he was talking about getting a new choir director, and he said, every time this person gets up and sings, this is what he said. He said, God just smiles. And I thought about that. Because you are having fellowship with a living God, and you're coming before His presence when you sing. It says, come before His presence with singing. See, if you appreciate Him, let Him know it. Let Him know it. See, I'm so thankful. Now, we can pray, and we're going to give you an opportunity to do that in just a minute. We'll go ahead and get ready for that. You know, sometimes that's what you need to do. There's a song, I just thought of it, or I probably would have mentioned it to Brother Keith this morning. It says, I just came to talk to you, Lord. And I know a man, a group that used to sing this song, it says, but one part of it says, maybe tomorrow there'll be trouble and sorrow, and 1,000 teardrops will fall. But until I face tomorrow's task, I have no other favor to ask. I just came to talk to you, Lord. You know, sometimes that's what you need to do. We're going to ask you to stand to your feet. Most important thing I'll mention too is if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you can today. You can do that simply by praying and asking Him to come into your heart right where you're at. Now, we have an altar that we open on each side here. You're welcome to come down and pray. Folks would love to pray with you. But maybe what you want to do is just come and thank God. You got something you'd like to thank the Lord for this morning? This is your opportunity as we sing.
Oh, but then she met
said, if you'll just drink of this water, you will never thirst again. There is a mountain that frees the soul from sin. Please come to this water, for there is
songs, great singing. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. We want to do one more thing before we dismiss the service. We want to open the doors of the church. And if you feel like this is a place you'd like to worship with us, you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, if you've been saved by the grace of God, and you want to join this church, we invite you right now as we sing or we play this one song. This is the opportunity.
As I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. Appreciate God's presence in our service this morning. As we mentioned earlier, we will not be having service Wednesday night because of people traveling and preparing for Thanksgiving. We will be having service here tonight, so you come back and worship with us if you can. We appreciate everybody being with us this morning. Brother Perry, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?